Thank you, Grace Dean, for leading us in those wonderful Christmas songs and then kind of our little ensemble, I think everyone but me, singing. And you guys can thank me later. So it's just so weird. I have discovered something, though, Kathy. I like singing way better from down there than I do from up here, because you guys aren't near as scary as these people. So, anyway. Well, I hope your Christmas holiday season has been going well. Kind of nice to have some snow. It makes it seem a little bit festive. Although yesterday, when I was snow blowing my neighbor's driveway for him, I did have a little confrontation with the sidewalk. And don't know who won. My back is a little bit on the sore side, and fortunately I broke my fall with my head. And in that case, I think I won because I cracked the sidewalk. So anyway, hope we're doing good. If words kind of start coming out funny, it maybe I'm not doing as well as I thought I was doing. So, and of course, there's some of you are saying, your words always come out funny, Pastor. I mean, how are we going to know the difference? Maybe if they come out making sense, there's something wrong with it. I don't know. All I know is I'm really frustrated right now because Brock and Holly are on the wrong side. You guys are always over there.
Just keeping you on your toes.
Must be that Delaney kid, right? She's a problem already.
Yeah.
So, no. Anyway, well, I hope you guys are getting into the holiday spirit. It's been such a weird year for us, you know, and I don't know about you, but I'm just really waiting for the year to end. Not that everything's going to change when it does. I just wanted to be out of this year and see what 2021 holds for us. Or maybe I don't want to see what that holds for us. But anyway, one of the prophecies that we like to look at Christmas time is found in the book of Micah. Micah chapter 5. And we look at this prophecy and we don't really fully look at it. I mean, we look at a part of it because it fits into our Christmas story, but we don't really finish the whole prophecy, and I'm not going to do that today either because it's really quite long. And in Micah chapter 5, and it's a prophecy that is several parts to it. It's not just a prophecy about one thing that is going to be happening in the future. There's a lot of things involved in it. And it isn't going to all happen at one time. It's going to happen over a period of actually thousands of years. And so we're going to just kind of briefly take a look at this. I knew I was going to be a little bit short on time. And so I actually told my sermon to Melissa, and she says, I don't need to know that. I don't need to know that. Okay, move on. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, I'm not going to do that again. So anyway, it just kind of like was really deflating to have this life. I don't need to hear that. You know, I don't know. Bruce, does your wife ever do that to you? Yeah, I know Connie does to me. How's that going? Just curious. Anyway, turn in your Bibles to because of my confrontation with the sidewalk, the overhead is going to be very sparse today. Because I was going to come in yesterday and do the computer work, and the nurse said, don't do computer work today. And I don't know what that has to do. She says, because it uses your brain. So in other words, I watched TV, but I couldn't do computer work. So I watched about 12 episodes of Andy Griffith. And so anyway, I do have the main verse up there, the main passage of scripture, but then that will be it. You just have to rely on your notes. But turn to Micah chapter 5. And this is how this prophecy goes. Starts off with, now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. Let's pray. Father, a great prophecy that perhaps we only look at Christmas time, but it talks about the coming of our Messiah. It talks about what we are celebrating now. But Lord, it goes farther than we oftentimes do. And there are promises in this prophecy that we need to heed and that we need to cling on to. Because, Lord, some of them haven't happened yet, but they're going to. Lord, speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this prophecy, you could probably break it into a lot of different parts, but I just broke it into two parts. Just to kind of keep it moving. The first part of this prophecy is verse 1. And this has been fulfilled. This part of the prophecy has already been fulfilled. Most theologians believe that. There are some that are saying that, no, it's all tied together. But most theologians believe that verse 1 is talking about the capture of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. We look at that again. It says, now muster yourselves in troops, daughter of troops. They have laid siege against us. With a rod they will smite the judge of Israel on the cheek. Now, there are those who say, well, the judge of Israel is the Messiah, but most theologians believe that what Micah is talking about, or who Micah is talking about here, is Zedekiah, who is the king of Israel at the time, the king of Judah, actually, at the time that the Babylonians take Jerusalem. And it's kind of interesting, and I won't take time to read you, but go to 2 Kings 25 verses 1 through 7, and it's the account of that happening. Now, the thing that I found interesting that I learned in this is that Jerusalem was under siege by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And so that means they were under siege for 2 years. 2 years, King Nebuchadnezzar had his troops surrounding, and then things were bad. They were running out of food, they were running out of water, they were running out of everything. And finally, the troops of Babylon broke through the walls. And the troops of Jerusalem and King Zedekiah took off through a hole on the other side of the wall and ran away. They didn't stay to defend their city. Of course, the Assyrians wouldn't have anything to do with that, the Babylonians. And they chased them, caught them, and a fairly grisly account of what they did to Zedekiah. That part of it is, we believe, fulfilled. But now we come to the other part. And this is familiar to you. When we look at Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." Now, we look at that, and of course, what we get out of that, and what we've looked at many times, is the fact that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. That little town of little consequence, the only claim to fame about Bethlehem is that, it does have a little bit of claim to fame in the Old Testament. The story of Ruth takes place in Bethlehem, but its claim to fame really is David. King David is born in Bethlehem, so this is what they call this, the city of David. Now, there are all kinds of theories of why the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem, but there's an interesting little story about a Sunday school teacher who, I actually saved it. It comes from my wife, so I have to do it. Anyway, the Sunday school teacher asked his class, "Why is it, class, that you think that the Messiah, or Jesus, had to be born in Bethlehem? Why was that the case?" Of course, he's hoping for some really good answers, right? Well, he gets a great answer, because that's where his mother was. Makes sense. If that's where Mary is, that's where Jesus is going to be born, right? Of course, we know that that's probably not why he was born in Bethlehem. There's all kinds of different ones, and we're not going to look at that. But he was born in Bethlehem, a very small, again, a town that really it's kind of like it's just not even important in Judah at the time. I mean, in Israel at the time of his birth, it's just a little town outside of a great big town city, and so it's really not important. But that is where the Messiah is going to come from, and we can draw all kinds of things from that. We really can. But I don't want to focus on that. I want to focus on this king, this ruler that's going to be born in Bethlehem. What is he going to be like? Well, one of the things it says, and this is kind of confusing, I guess, it says, his origins are from eternity. Okay, he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and yet his origins are from eternity. How does that happen? They're talking about him going to be born and thing, but yet he originally is eternal. Well, it fits very well with the Messiah, and it fits very well with our understanding of who Jesus Christ is. And it also fits very well with John 1:1-2, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." Now, the Word is Jesus Christ. That's another name for Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. And so, yes, he's going to be born then, but yet that's not where he began existence. He was with God in the beginning. It's just this is where he enters into our time scheme and becomes part of our world at this place. And he comes in, of course, in the form of a little baby. Another thing that it says about this ruler, something very different than the rulers of the past, it says that he will shepherd his people. He will shepherd his people. Most of the rulers that ruled over Israel or over Judah, they were not shepherds. Some were mighty men that did good things. Some were mighty men who did terrible things. But this ruler is going to be different. He's going to be a shepherd. He's going to love Israel. He's going to take care of his people. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flocks. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Now, that is not a definition of what the leaders of Israel have been like. So there's something very special about this one who is going to be born. John 10:11 says, and this is Jesus, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. See, Jesus Christ is a good shepherd, and he's going to be a different type of a ruler. He's going to be a shepherd type of a leader. But then it goes on and it says that, but he will be great. He will be great. In Luke 1:32 and 33, when the angel appears to Mary and tells her about the child that is going to be born to her, even though she's a virgin, this is what he uses to describe this child. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. That is a great leader. That's a great leader that is coming. You know, we've had great leaders in the history of the world. Obviously, David was a great leader in Israel. And where we've seen other great leaders in this world. But nothing that matches the greatness of Jesus Christ. And not only that, David, and maybe some of the presidents that you can think of that you thought were great leaders in our country, they have an end to their reign. They stop. No matter how good they are, they die. Or they're voted out of office or whatever. But their reign, their rule, their authority does not last forever. This ruler, he is going to be great, and he's going to be great to the ends of the earth. I mean, there's not going to be an end to what he does. And then the last thing that's, and this is kind of what I want to end on and focus on, because today, if we were following the Advent calendar, this is the third Sunday of Advent. Now, the third Sunday of Advent can be one of two things. It can be the Sunday of joy, which is great. I sure had a lot of joy singing those songs today. But it also can be the Sunday that represents peace. And so I'm going to look at it, because this prophecy talks about one key element about this ruler who was born in Bethlehem, this little city, and the one who is going to a shepherd. He's going to be great. He's also going to be our peace. He's going to not just bring peace to the world, he's going to be our peace. Now, we look at that, and this isn't the only place that it mentions it. In fact, most of us will refer back to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, when it talks about this child who's born. And again, we get another definition, and actually a fuller definition of what this leader is going to be like. So let me read that for you. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David or over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So that really focuses on that this Messiah that is coming is going to be the Prince of Peace. Now, very true statement. This has not fully been fulfilled yet. Yes, Jesus Christ was born. The Messiah was born in Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. He was. That part is fulfilled. And he has begun his ministry. He has set up his kingdom on this earth. But we have not seen the fulfillment of that kingdom yet on this earth. That's yet to happen. And that is something that we can really look forward to, because the throne is going to be occupied by the Prince of Peace, and of that peace there will be no end. There will be no end. So our future holds peace in it, and of that peace there will be no end. Now, the world has experienced momentary times of peace, but they've almost always, well, no, not almost, they've always been. And then stuff happens again. But the future that is coming for us is a future that is ruled by the Prince of Peace, and he will give us our peace. Now, we haven't fully stepped into that kingdom yet. That is a kingdom to come, where there will be no end to his peace. Now, hey, the fulfillment of this prophecy maybe hasn't happened yet, but it has started. And even though we're not in that period where Jesus Christ is the ruler of the world and where his peace will last forever, it has started. And even today, in a broken, in a world that is struggling, that is suffering, in a world that is filled with fear, that is filled with hatred, all these things that attack peace, we can know peace because the Messiah has come. And we can have a peace today. We don't have to wait till the end of the, till Jesus Christ comes again. You know, I mean, that's going to be a great time. But when Jesus Christ comes again, there's actually going to be a big war. And after that war, there's going to be peace that's going to last forever. But we can know peace right here and now because Jesus Christ was born. We can know that peace. Romans 5:1. I love this verse. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, we don't have peace with the world right now, especially those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the world is trying to stamp out the Lord Jesus Christ. They're trying to do it. They can't, and they won't. But they're trying to. And so we are not living at peace right now. Jesus knew that. In John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, or let it be. Jesus Christ says this. Now, this is 2,000 years ago. He says to his disciples, and you have to think about all the things that his disciples went through. All of them but John died pretty early deaths, being martyred. And John didn't particularly have a joyful long life. Well, he actually had a joyful long life because he was focused on the Lord. But it wasn't one that the world would call a peaceful one. All kinds of things happened to John. But yet Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. Then he says a little later on in the book of John, John 16:33, he says, these things I have spoken to you that you may have peace. Now listen to what he says. In this world you will have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. See, we're living in that world, and we're living in that time of tribulation right now. We are. But Jesus says you can have peace even if the world doesn't. You can have peace even if the world is warring with your faith, which it is. You can have peace through Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. And when you have peace with God, the other things don't matter. That is when you're focused on God. Now, I struggle because I take my focus off of God and I lose my peace. I don't know if any of you have struggled with that lately. But I struggle with that, especially in this pandemic thing that we're going through. I struggle because what I do is I get really upset with the leaders of our country. I mean, none of them have asked me what I thought. And I wish they would, because boy, do I have something to tell them. But, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, I find myself, like, I'm talking to someone, I'm in a great spirit, and all of a sudden we kind of get talking about decisions that are made, and we start getting angry and so like that, and we don't know what the people are, you know. And we get really upset, and guess what? Our peace just flies out the window. Why? Because we're not looking at the big picture. The big picture is that God is in control. And when we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we have peace in our heart because we have God in our heart. But we do need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, especially in this holiday season. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what kid I can't allow to come home for Christmas. You know, don't tell anyone, they might all freak them home. But we won't tell anyone that they're there. And the picture that you will receive after Christmas of us all being together, that would float. That's how we got that. That's the story, and I'm sticking to it. But, through Jesus Christ, we have that peace. And even all the dumbest rules in the world that our leaders might make for us, they can't take the peace away from us if unless we allow them to do that. Unless we take our focus off of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm talking to me as much as I'm talking to you because I do this. And, you know, even out here in the foyer, you can rob me of peace. Just talk about politics. And I guarantee you, my peace is out the door. But it shouldn't be, because I just need to look at it and say, God is in control. God is in control. He knows what's going on. He's allowing this. He's got my life in control. I can have peace, especially this time of year when we're celebrating Jesus Christ. The sad thing is I'm looking out there and I see people who don't have peace. They don't have it. And what's even sadder, some of the people who aren't having peace right now are people who know Jesus Christ. Because again, they've lost their focus. They're not focusing on God and what God is doing. They're focusing on what the world is doing, and they're focusing on rules and regulations, and they're focusing on things that we have no control over. Instead of focusing on God, realizing He has control over everything. And when we focus on that, we have peace. Paul, I think, has one of the best passages of Scripture on peace in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And this is something that I want you to, this Christmas season, take this passage of Scripture to heart, okay? Take it to heart. First of all, it says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Not an easy thing to do, but be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't be anxious. If you have something that you feel you have anxiety over or fear over, give it to God. Give it to God. He will take care of it. Now, Here's the thing that is really great. Verse 7. And the peace of God, not the peace of the world, but the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A peace that the world does not understand. A peace that the world can't have because they don't have God. But for us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, folks, we have this peace available to us. Keep your eyes focused on God. Keep talking to Him. Keep talking to Him. Lay your concerns, your fears, your troubles at His feet. And He will give you peace that will transcend anyone's understanding of how in the world we can have peace in such a time of this, when chaos seems to be ruling in our world. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And you can know that peace by knowing Jesus Christ, by taking Him in as your Lord and Savior. Because when you do that, the first thing that you do is you have peace with God. See, the sins that separate us from God, Jesus Christ paid for on the cross. And so when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, then He takes our sins upon Him and He nails them to the cross. And He takes our punishment for us, and we have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And that gives us peace. Because all of a sudden we have a relationship with the Creator of it all. We have a relationship with the power of, I can say the universe, but that's limited, God. And that gives us a peace that we can have. But it's only found in Jesus Christ. And yes, we can lose that if we don't focus on Him. Not that we lose our salvation. I want to keep that straight. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you accept His Lord and Savior, you are going to be in that kingdom of peace coming up. But you can live in peace right now through Jesus Christ by keeping our eyes focused on Him and focused on God as Father. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the peace that we can have even in these very troubled times. Lord, at the beginning of this year, we would have never predicted this to happen. But it did. And there is so much strife and fear and concern and heartache. And Lord, the world is a scary place for most people. But Lord, when You sent Jesus Christ to this world, You also sent peace to this world in Jesus Christ. And in Him and through Him, we can know peace. We can claim victory. Even though the world is struggling, Lord, we can be at peace. Father, I pray, Lord, for everyone here that we would understand the peace that Jesus Christ gives to us. And Father, I pray that we would keep our eyes focused on Him, knowing that eventually, the prophecy in Micah 5 will be fulfilled, and we will forever